Today we are speaking with Nafisa Fai, a candidate for Washington County Commissioner District 1. Nafisa is an expert in the field of public health. She helped to found the Pan-African Festival in Oregon. She's also a small business owner on the Portland Business Journal's 40 Under 40. I could go on. But Nafisa, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Althea.
So first, I want to know what inspired you to run for office?
Good question. I think I would like to say one day I woke up and I wanted to run, but it's been a long journey to run for office. And I've been really passionate about impacting and making change for our community and doing great things. And I think this was the next natural evolution to really be at the decision making at the, you know, the tables where budgets are moved around and community improvements are talked about, and really centering the lived experience, especially people who are in poverty and low income, because poverty is part of my lived experience.
Right. And so you've listed one of your priorities as tackling the affordable housing crisis. What do you think the existing conversation around housing affordability is missing?
You know, there's a lot of great conversations and great plans in progress around tackling affordable housing. I think for me, you know, somebody who lived in low income housing and now has her own house and owns her own house, I think pathway to home ownership conversation is missing. And I think that's one way for people to move out of poverty and generate wealth. And that's one thing I really want to center on around affordable housing. It's important to have, you know, and also figure out ways we can really level the playing field for everyone.
And do you have examples of, I guess, where we're lacking that right now?
Were we lacking pathway to home ownership?
Sure.
You know, I think a lot of the conversation about affordable housing is centered on, you know, building houses and creating more houses and really sort of focused on supply and demand conversation. But really what I'm interested in really focusing on, how do we uplift and lift people out of poverty, and how do we create that pathway to home ownership so that people, you know, yes, we need subsidizing housing, but how do we make sure people are generating wealth and they can really buy their own houses? And that conversation starts with having or realistic expectations about how much houses cost. Because, you know, if you're making minimum wage, you really can't afford $500,000 houses. So if we are focusing on people owning their own house, then we'll really be centering those voices and those people and making sure that the houses are affordable, truly affordable. Because people can't, you know, if you're making minimum wage, you might be able to afford a $200,000 house, but if we're talking $500,000 houses, then it's really not realistic.
Right. And, you know, as you mentioned, it's complex, but also so tied to generating wealth for generations to come.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I'm excited. Like every time we get our house, we had somebody to ask us to sell our house, and excited to see the wealth, you know, how much value our house has. And we've only owned it for, you know, a few years, less than 10 years or so. So I think that's really exciting part, that if we tell those stories, you know, this is could be your pathway out of poverty.
So from a public policy perspective, how do you create that path to home ownership?
Making houses are affordable, making sure that, you know, when we're building houses and structures are growing, developments are up and running, I think it's important to make sure that they're going to be affordable to people who can buy them.
Mm-hmm. Factoring that into the conversation. So tell me about how you would want to address traffic congestion in Washington County.
Yeah. You know, one of the biggest impacts around traffic congestion is working people are spending too much time in traffic. I want to work so people can spend less time on the road and more time with their families. In creating transportation solutions that work for all, I think we need to center those who are not able to afford personal vehicles to get to where they want to go and where they're going. And that includes prioritizing transit and active transportation solutions that help connect people with jobs, schools, shopping, and etc. Much of the county is covered by TriMet services area, and I'll support the upcoming metro measure to expand transit and transportation solutions. Within the urban growth boundary, you know, we also need to figure out, we also must pay attention to transit solutions for those who live outside the urban growth boundaries. And especially, you know, I say that because the people who are in the outside the urban growth boundaries are not served by TriMet. So we need to really figure out what solutions and how do we expand services to those people too.
Right. And so I want to ask about you now. We've talked a little bit about what your policy positions are. So you've lived in Oregon for 22 years, but you first came to the state as a refugee. How do you think that experience has impacted you and sort of by extension your campaign?
Good question. I want to say, you know, my lived experience really made me be able to do this and made me resilient. Running for a campaign, it's really hard work and a lot of really hard work. And I think being a refugee and having values that are around people in low income and people experiencing poverty really made me the candidate I am, and to run aggressive platform that are very progressive and making sure that, you know, I stay true to centering those voices and those people who are impacted. So that's what I would say my experience as a refugee really made me, like, not to give up and to continue to work hard. I've been working really, I would say I've been campaigning relentlessly and not being tired and yeah.
The can-do spirit. I love it. So you've worked in public health in a few different arenas as a program manager for Upstream Public Health on the Clean Water Services Advisory Commission. You're a member of the Oregon Maternal Mortality and Morbidity Review Committee and also on the board of the dental service nonprofit Dental 3. That's a lot. So what is one issue related to public health that you think doesn't get quite enough attention?
All that makes me also sound like I'm boring, but I'm pretty fun, I want to say. You know, I think one issue, again, as a public health, I think one of the, you know, I feel like Oregon, we have... So the reality in Oregon is that if you wanted to buy a Christmas tree, you have to have a license. But if you wanted to buy a tobacco, you know, you don't have, if you wanted to sell tobacco, you don't have to have a tobacco retail licensing. And I feel like that's one issue that I really want to focus on and continue to carry the torch and make sure that, you know, as a county, we are requiring people to sell, people who want to sell tobacco retail licensing. And those are some of the issues that I really want to focus on.
And what would be the intended impact of having tobacco retailers be licensed?
I think accountability and protection for our youth. You know, we don't know who's selling tobacco right now. If we wanted to, we can sort of guess all the, you know, convenience stores and they are selling, but without having that accountability mechanism is really hard to know who's selling and who are they selling to. So, you know, and this makes, you know, this goes in line having healthy people in healthy communities, really protecting our kids, making sure people are held accountable to sell to people who are in the right age. And it starts with having retail licensing so that people know that they will be held accountable if they sell to youth because they were too busy to check, or, you know, they just didn't want to bother, or they didn't know, because sometimes people don't even know that you have to be a certain age to buy tobacco. So.
Right. And that changed relatively recently in Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's funny to think about that. Well, not that the vape epidemic is over, but just compared to where we are now in terms of talking about epidemics.
Yeah. And that whole vape situation isn't over. It's just not in the news lately. But I think we need to figure out a way to really hold people accountable and make sure that our kids are protected, and we're creating, you know, certain barriers for kids to access, and certain accountability mechanisms for people who are selling these products. So I'm excited about that. I worked on when the whole e-cigarette regulations era, and you know that Oregon was the first to, long before the FDA regulated e-cigarettes, we regulated it here.
Oh, wow. I don't think I did know that.
Yeah. There was no age requirements. Oregon made it 18, just before the T21. But and then the FDA a few months later came out and said you have to be 18 to buy electronic cigarettes.
Wow. Okay. So thinking about your experience in public health, how do you think that will translate to the Washington County Commission?
You know, a lot of the commissioners, there's a diverse experience and backgrounds, and I'm excited to bring the public health background to the commission, and I'll be the public health experts on the commission. So I'm excited about that part.
Yeah. And then I'm curious about what your thoughts are about sort of the coronavirus right now and sort of the hype and the confusion and the, you know, cleaned out store shelves.
Well, yeah, one of the Costco's had long line to get in. I've never even seen that ever happen, or would I ever would have dreamed that would have been the case.
Right.
But, you know, it's scary, and what we don't know, it's hard to combat that. But I think we need to trust our public health officials and do what they're telling us to do. Wash our hands, stay home. If you're, you know, home is the best way to get better. and if you have to, you know, go out, you know, do the protocol, follow the protocols, you know, cover your sneeze and continue to wash. Don't touch your face constantly. But I'm one of those people that I was scared. I was like, oh my gosh, this is happening. What do we do? You know, but I didn't go to shopping,
right,
or I didn't try to buy a whole bunch of stuff. But it's scary times, and it's really, I have my mom here, so I'm worried about that. And we're taking some precautions to make sure she's, you know, when people come in, not shake hands and just wave at each other, you know.
Yeah.
I trust our health officials, and I think it'll pass.
Yeah, I think people, you know, you feel like you want to do something drastic. And if I do something drastic, then I'll be safe. And the advice being, wash your hands a lot.
Yeah, stay home.
Hand sanitizer doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Don't go to work.
Yeah, don't go to work. Or, you know, don't send your kids to school if they're sick. You know, just small things that can protect us. But we're human. And, you know, I think the first thing we want to do is, like, go shopping and stack up. But my husband was like, do we have any doctor's appointments? Because we're not going any to doctor. That's the first when he woke up. He was like, we're not going any doctor's appointment on Monday. And I was like, oh, we don't have any doctor's appointments.
That's probably the opposite of some people who are desperate to get into the doctor to be told they're okay.
But we still would have kept our doctor's appointment, because I don't think we're in any danger, you know, if we follow what we're told.
Right. Yeah. And so for people who are interested in your campaign, what's the best way for them to get involved?
I have a website and I have a social media. My website is NafisaForWashingtonCounty.com. And people can sign up to volunteer to door knock with me. They can, you know, host a house party, and, you know, get involved in the campaign to really, or even if they just want to observe to what's like to run for office or how is the campaign run, they can sign up there. So, and I have a Facebook, Nafisa for Washington County, Nafisa 5 for Washington County, on Facebook, which is easily comes up by here.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to impart to the listeners today?
I would, if you are listening and live in Washington County, vote for me, Nafisa Fai, for Washington County District 1, which is Beaverton, Alloa, Cooper Mountain, and Reedville area. It's exciting times. Times are changing, and I'm excited to be a voice that represents and reflects the people in our district, and to bring my experience and backgrounds as a public health professional, as a business owner, and as a community organizer or community activist to the commission, and really be impactful and make tremendous impact for District 1.
Awesome. Well, Nafisa, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
We've been speaking with Nafisa Fai, a candidate for Washington County Commissioner District 1. More information on Nafisa and her campaign are available online at nafisaforwashingtoncounty.com. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.